you and praise you. On the day of your resurrection, we can get together here to enjoy you and to enjoy your word. Lord, we confess we are nothing, we have nothing, but you are everything to us. Lord, we consecrate this meeting into your hand. Lord, we pray that your victorious blood will cleanse us and cover us. You know how much your enemy hates this kind of meeting and how much that he is afraid of this kind of meeting. Together we bind him, bind all his distractions. Lord, we consecrate the whole time into your hand. We pray that this meeting will satisfy you. Give us your rich presence in this meeting. We thank you, we praise you. Amen. I believe that most of you know that this weekend we are having a young people's conference. The reason I want to say this is just because I want to remind you that this meeting is not a regular church meeting. So in case if we speak longer, then just remember this is not a regular church meeting, and this is a ministry meeting. And so, in case if we are a little bit longer, and then don't be upset. But anyway, I don't know how many times I have repeated this. That is one thing. I'm not afraid of many things or all things. But one thing I was afraid is to repeat the message or to review the message. But yesterday, the brothers asked me, asked me to repeat what I said yesterday morning. And so, but I have no choice, and I just obey the order of the body. So but on the other hand, I guarantee, especially the young people, I try to do my best to speak short. Just think about this. Yesterday morning, we were talking to all the young people here. This is the young people conference. And so if we don't repeat it to the older ones, it's not fair to them, right? So then I just try to do my best to speak to the older ones as short as possible. But then the young people don't think, oh, then we can probably start to doze, start to take a nap. But I guarantee you that what I'm going to say to you probably is what you have never heard before. But anyway, this morning when I woke up at 5 o'clock, and the first thing I said to the Lord, what should I do? What should I say? The more I asked the Lord, it seems that he replied to me, and he answered my word, and you can say this. Then, so I can guarantee that later when I speak to the young people, and probably many things is what you have never heard before. But, so in other words, my whole point is, don't fall into sleep. Okay, so just for all the older ones, and the one of the burden, a very strong burden, and these days we feel it's very important. And you know this matter of homosexuality, and even as late as 5 years ago, and all those homosexual people, their conscience still was working, and so they still had a feeling of shamefulness. But these past 4 years, that it seems that all these homosexual people, that they are become very, very bold, and no sense of shamefulness, and they rather they think this is something modern things, and so their talk was that everyone has the freedom and to choose what kind of life they want to live. And then we know some of the Christian preachers, they, of course, many of them, they criticize these homosexual people. And most of them, they criticize based on the Old Testament, especially the portion in the in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Chapter 18 was the second half that God talked to Abraham and asked Abraham to pray for those righteous ones in the city of Sodom. And God still tried to give them the time to repent. But eventually, in the chapter 19 of Genesis, and then you could see that that city, Sodom, was totally a city of homosexual. And so actually, Sodom, the name of this city is, you know, Sodom is homosexual things. And then there's some verses we did not write on the board. In the, not only in the Old Testament, you could see this, that these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, these two cities, they were sinful already, very sinful. But God still allowed them time to repent, but and even asked Abraham to pray for them. But once that the whole city was filled with was of these homosexual people, and then then God cannot tolerate this, and so God would just use fire, burn these two cities. This was the history very clearly mentioned in the Bible. Now, my burden is not to talk about this matter according to the history in the Bible. Rather, I want to approach this matter from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28. And why? Many of you who know me, I really, this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, is one of the verses I love the most. Why I love this verse, and I don't know how many people I have encouraged them to memorize this verse. It is because I was not from a Christian family. I did not have any Christian background. But yet, since I was very young, I had a feeling, empty, very empty feeling. In other words, vanity of vanity, all things are vanity. It seems that nothing will really satisfy me. And so then, make a long story short, then even at the time when I was saved, in the beginning, after I was baptized, I did have this joy and the satisfaction for a short period of time. Then, even after a period of time, then that, in other words, after I was baptized, the first few months, I was happy and I enjoyed the salvation. But afterwards, that empty feeling came back to me again. And so I also yesterday morning I said this, that I still feel it's very empty. And especially during in the early 50s, Brother Lee did not have time to share with us that the New Jerusalem was not a physical city. It's not a physical heaven. And so it was later, we have the ministry from Brother Watchman Nee and also from Brother Lee. Then we know that the New Jerusalem was not a physical city or physical heaven, but New Jerusalem is a sign and to show us many important things. And that's not the burden that I want to get into detail about these things. But anyway, I had at least, because we did not know that this New Jerusalem was not a physical city. It's all have the spiritual meanings. And so then I was thinking that I knew when I walk into the New Jerusalem, and as I sometimes said, the thing that I really interest me was the pearl gate. How could a pearl become a gate? And so I thought that when I enter into New Jerusalem, I will really take a good to see this gate. Then also I knew that inside the city you have the golden street. And I knew the first two or three days I would be very excited. I have never seen so much gold. But then I also know I only need to walk down the golden street for 3 days, 5 days. Then I will be very boring. So you by that time, today, when you have gold, you can use the gold to get the cash. Then you have cash, you can buy whatever you want. But in the New Jerusalem, even you have a lot of gold, there's no need. You cannot buy anything. And so I thought the New Jerusalem probably would not satisfy me. And so once I talked to one of the young people serving ones, I said, isn't that true? That once we get into the to heaven, it will be very boring, right? And this young people serving one says, it's very boring. And but if you don't believe in the Lord, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire. That's too terrible. And so comparatively speaking, still to believe in the Lord and go into heaven is better. When he talked this way to me, that did not satisfy me. And eventually, actually, this young people serving ones left the Lord's recovery. That very evident, that because he never seen the vision. And so, but anyway, my whole point was, I still was very empty within. Until the 1954, in October, that was the beginning, the first time Brother Lee used this term, the life study. And so at that time he said, even though in this Bible you have so many things, now you have you have a lot of history, you have even many signs, many signs? Because 700 years before the Lord's first coming came to this earth, and Isaiah already talked about that Jehovah God is on what? On the he said it's on the, it's wrong. In other words, already Isaiah already said this globe we are having, we are living on, is not flat. It is round. So even though, in other words, 700 years before the Lord's first coming, the Old Testament Bible already said the earth was round, it's not flat. So this is, even though way back, they already knew these signs. And then also had many other things, of course, some moral things and but the thing is, the Bible is not a book of these things. The Bible is not a book of history, it's not a book of science, it's not a book of anything, but the Bible is the book of life. And so even the the first chapter, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and he even said this chapter 1 is not a chapter talking about God's creation. And of course, he has many proofs. And if you read the book of Job in chapter 38, you could see that when God created the earth, and it's not the same time as he created the heavens. So Brother Lee said Genesis chapter 1, only verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Only this verse is related to God's creation. And then after this, start from verse 2, it's no longer talking about God's creation. And then, so you have the proof from Job and many other verses. And then very soon, Brother Lee came to this verse. That is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And why? So I believe many of you know, even you can recite this, right? And yesterday, I think many people stand up and they all can recite this verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our righteousness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of heaven and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And this one verse, and Brother Lee strongly showed to us that this verse not only tells us that we human beings were created by God, but also God created us with a definite purpose. And the Bible later in the New Testament, in the verses we just read, in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 9 to verse 11, you can see that very clearly mentioned here. And so then that is in verse 9, it says, in the Old Testament time, God's economy or God's eternal purpose was not revealed to God's Old Testament people. That is the Jewish people. So they did not know what is God's eternal purpose. And then it is in the, when the Lord came the first time, he brought in the New Testament and the New Covenant. And then in the New Covenant, he promised for those who receive Christ, we will receive the triune God into us, will receive the divine life into us. And so this is something that is very important. And so, in other words, when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we know that God created us, and also, based on this verse, we know there are two things. One is, positively, God wanted to use a group of people. God wants to gain a group of people to express God. And this is on the positive side. And on the negative side, God wants to use this corporate group, that is the corporate man, is the church. And so God wants to use this corporate man to express him and also to represent God, to deal with God's enemy. So this is very clear. And so the reason we also read Ephesians chapter 3, because that tells us clearly in verse 9, it says, in the Old Testament time, God's eternal purpose was not revealed. God's economy was not revealed to God's people. But then it is in the New Testament, and then God used the corporate man. The corporate man is the church. And so in these verses, in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 10 to 11, you could see that God wanted to show to all the angels and all the spirits, both the positive ones, angels, and the negative angels, God wanted to show them the God's wisdom. God's wisdom is one of God's attributes, and that through the church. In other words, God does not want to use angel to express God, but God wants to use the church. The corporate man is the church, and so want to use the church to express God. So this is God's eternal purpose. It's clearly mentioned. In the early days, Brother Ni and Brother Lee used the phrase, the eternal purpose. Then later, Brother Lee also used the word economy. But then, this is not what I tried to get into in detail. But anyway, the thing is that we have to see God created man with this his purpose. His purpose is that to express God and also to represent God, to deal with God's enemy. Now, who is God's enemy? In that verse, the last sentence is the very, very important phrase. Is and over, not only over the fish and the birds and the cattle and all the earth, especially it says, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, this is clearly mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. Yes, you need to realize that that Genesis was written by Moses. And Moses wrote these things, if I'm not wrong, it's 3,500 years earlier than the before the Lord came the first time. And so even way back then, already, the Bible mentioned very clearly that God's purpose, God's eternal purpose. And so Brother Lee's point was that that is the meaning of our human life. In other words, God created us. Created us is not just created us to have fun or to do other things. God created us. It's according to his eternal purpose. And the purpose, again, on the positive side, God wants to gain this corporate man to be his corporate expression. And on the negative side, God wants to use the corporate man, and that is the church, and to represent God, especially to deal with every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, what is the creeping thing? It's very easy, because in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, the creeping thing creeps in. And then who is the creeping thing? That is the serpent, the snake. And that was represents Satan. So it's very clear. And therefore, even though by that time, because of the ministry of Brother Ni and Brother Lee, you could see that very clear the picture. So, in other words, it's very clear that our God is the creator of the universe, and he is also the governor of the universe. He is the highest, and no one can compare. And so he is the God in the universe. And so he did not want to lower his level. He would not lower his level to the, because he's the creator, and as the creator, he did not want to lower his level to the creatures, and so God created man, another creature, to deal with Satan, another creature. So this is very clear. And then if you see this, then the whole thing is very clear. So in other words, God did not want to deal with Satan directly because he did not want to deal with another creature, but rather he created man, another creature, for us, for the human beings to deal with Satan. And we have to see this very clearly. And if you see this, then you will know what happened today. What happened? Don't blame all those homosexual people. And you have to see that everything, Satan was behind it. Satan want to promote homosexuality. And Satan hope every human being will be homosexual, because this way it will wipe out the whole human beings in this universe. Then Satan can go home and sleep in peace. So that is what happened. But today, so don't be deceived by that kind of talk. We all have the freedom to choose our way of living. And then other people said, God loves everybody. And so God also loves this homosexual person. Yeah, God loves the person. God hates that sin. And today, my burden is very heavy. It's because today you can see what Satan is doing. But many people don't know, don't understand what's going on. And even many Christians don't know Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Even many preachers, I'm not criticizing anybody, and my point was that even many Christians still don't know what is going on. We have to see that there is a warfare going on, spiritual war going on, and in the whole universe, and the real important war going on is not even with the terrorist, it's with between Satan and God. And so we Christians, which side should we stand? Of course we have to stand with God. We cannot stand with Satan. And the lake of fire was not prepared for us. The lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his followers, his evil spirits. He already have many companions. No need to have us to join him. But yet, sorry to say, the many people, many human beings, they refuse to receive the Lord as their Savior. And then even some preachers and then also did not see what is God's eternal purpose. And so this is our burden. We need to see that what is going on today. So we have to pray for the situation, and we have to preach the gospel, and we need to preach the gospel because God is he wants all to be saved, and not only all to be saved and also come to the foreknowledge of the truth. And so this is our burden. And so I hope that from now on, at least all the saints in the Lord's recovery, we need to be very clear what is going on. And don't be deceived by all the other talks. And so this is our burden, and this is why because we realize even among our own young people, and some of them had already been influenced by all this kind of talk, and did not know what is the real things going on. And so today, I really feel it is right that we not only young people need to know this, older ones, everyone in the Lord's recovery should be clear about this. We should be clear about God's eternal purpose, God's economy, and clear about what is going on here. If you see this, may the Lord cover us to say this, that we are not better than anyone else. It is the Lord's mercy that he has chosen us, that's for us to see. In one sense, if you really see what's going on, then you will realize that we are the most important people in the universe, because we are the ones who know what's going on. And we are willing to stand with God on the God side. And therefore, in one sense, we are the most important people in the universe. And therefore, that's why we have the burden to share this with everybody, at least everybody in the Lord's recovery. Then we also need to preach gospel to everybody, because God's heart is to save everybody. God wants to save all people, but then this is the real fight with Satan. And I hope that you all know this. We all know this, and we all need to live according to this. And so then in that life study conference, and so at least spent 5 months to cover the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And so then I was very much impressed on this one thing, that is, if you really see the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then you know this is the meaning of our human life. And so it's, Brother Lee that time emphasized very clearly, because this is the meaning of our human life. Therefore, if we do not live according to God's eternal purpose, and we are maybe, you know, some Christians, they say, as long as I believe in the Lord, I will not go to the lake of fire, and then it will be, I'll be okay. And so as long as I will not be thrown into the lake of fire, then it's good enough. No, it's not good enough. So then I just want to emphasize this. And so then Brother Lee, at that time he says, this is the meaning of our human life. And if we do not live according to this, and if we do not care for this, sooner or later you will discover vanity of vanity. All the other things are vanity, because we are not created for other purposes, but it is for this purpose that God has made it very clear in the Genesis show, reveal this to us. And therefore, from that time on, I found the meaning of my human living. And so I also had already experienced that without really getting into God's eternal purpose, live according to God's eternal purpose, and we are for God's eternal purpose, then sooner or later you will discover, regardless what kind of thing you are pursuing, sooner or later you will discover all the other things to us is vanity. And therefore, I just share this to you. Now then, I will come back to the young people, because I mentioned to them that I had this feeling that in the heaven, or in the New Jerusalem, and it's boring, and so I asked the Lord, be merciful to me. I will not behave like the other young people serving ones, and he just want to compare the lake of fire with New Jerusalem. I will ask the Lord's mercy that we will not have this kind of understanding. And so that's why if we do not really see the vision that has been recovered, then sooner or later, probably we'll leave. And therefore, today I will ask you, because many young ones also ask this question, is it very boring? And when we go to heaven, when we go to New Jerusalem, or in the eternity future, will we be boring? Well, I can give you very clearly to tell you we will not be boring. Why I have the assurance? Because there are two things. One is that based on the last chapter of the whole Bible, and that is Revelation chapter 22. And you can see that in the eternity, not only in that verse, you can see the whole Bible. You could see that the kind of life we will live is we will live in love. Our God is God of love, and we will be in God. That means we'll be in God's love, and so and. We have a thing, I think we just sang one thing to say, our God, our Chinese God, and it will never grow old. Not only he will not grow old, but his love also will never grow old. So we have to see that the first thing is we have to know that we, in the eternal future, but whether even today, and our God and our Lord love us, and his love will never be old, and his love is what is fresh every day. Today, his love is fresher than yesterday, and tomorrow, his love will be more fresh than today. Not only God's love is always fresh, and also his love is always sweet. And today is sweeter than yesterday, and tomorrow you'll be sweeter than today. And so why people are bored? It's because they don't have love. They don't love anybody, and no one loves them. It's very boring, right? I'm not joking. We all have to see this point. And then I will say this. First of all, I don't encourage you young people to date today. It's too early for you. But if one day, at least when you are still in junior high, high school, and even college, they don't go out, in other words, don't date. And it's okay. So the junior high and high school is 6 years, right? And then in university or college, another 4 years. So that's 10 years. Then after you graduate from college, and you spend 2 years in FTTA. So altogether, the most is just 12 years, right? So if the ones you are in senior year in college, you only have to wait for two years. So, but during these 12 years or 2 years, then what you need to do is not to find someone, but you have to study. No, you have to spend your time to study to get a good education. Okay, so we want to have A students, because Brother Lee always say A students later when they serve, they will have served A service. And if you are just C student, and then when you serve later, and it will be what? It will be C service. And therefore, we want to all of you to be A students. Okay? And so we need to study, but not only study your homework or to do your homework, and also what I'm trying to say is that you also need to study the Bible. Okay, now is the best time because you have good memory. When I was young, when I was at your age, I also had good memory. But now I'm old, so then many times I have to depend on other people. It's too late. But anyway, so you have to use your young this time, and when you still have good memory, you should memory the good things and the useful things. So not only your education, but also the Bible. Now is the best time to memorize. And all the verses I remember is all the I memorized them when I was young. But today, I can repeat many times. I still will forget. So that's why you have to study. So in other words, my point is, don't date, okay? With this in view, then I will tell you, especially tell the sisters that if, in other words, after 12 years, or at least after 2 years, so when you go out to date, and if this brother keep looking at his watch, and not only the watch, then he's, and he said, "Oh, I thought it's a." He said, "I thought it's already midnight. But how come it's only 8 o'clock?" And so then you know this brother does not love you. So don't waste your time. So if a brother don't look at his watch, but talk to you, and then he said, "Oh, the time flies so quickly, and I thought it's only 8 o'clock. It's already midnight." Then, most likely, he really loves you. So, my point is, again, we come back to the eternity future, and the kind of love we have. Even better than any kind of love on the earth. And so, therefore, don't worry, you will be to be boring again. All the ones who are boring because nobody loves them, they don't love anybody. And so, but today, we at least have this Christ, the Triune God. He loves us. He loves us to the end. And he loves us, and the sweeter today than yesterday, and the tomorrow is sweeter than today. And therefore, you will never be you will never be bored. And because we enjoy the God's love. And then we also, with God's love, we love God, and we love one another. So this is the first reason why I said, guarantee that there's no bore to be bored. It's bored, and then, especially we just read these verses in Genesis chapter 22. And then it says that, let's turn to that verse. And in especially verse 3 and verse 5, yeah, Revelation chapter 22, and verse 3. Let's read verse 3 first. It says, and there will no longer be a curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his slaves will serve him. Okay, his slave, that is us, and will serve him. In other words, in the eternity future, we still will serve the Lord. And then, you know, once Brother Watchman Nee said this, that actually all our service today is train us. And the real service actually is in the eternity future. And so then, what kind of service we are going to have? We will not have an ushering service or a transportation service. No. And so then you read verse 5. And have no need of light of lamp and of the light of the sun. For the Lord God will shine upon them, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So we will serve forever and ever. And to do what? We will all be co-kings of Christ. Amen. Christ is the He is the creator to create the whole universe. He's also the ones that controls everything. And yet, in the eternity future, what is our service? We'll be Christ's co-king. And Christ is doing what? It's control the whole universe. So, in other words, don't worry, you will be unemployed. No. No, we will all have enough to do. And not only enough to do, to do with Christ together. And so this is what the Lord has destined for our future. And therefore, so again, I repeat what Brother Watchman Nee said. And we all need to see, we have to serve today. If we don't serve today, then when the Lord comes back before the judgment seat of Christ, then you cannot pass. And I say this very often, and when we know Christ will come back very soon, and when he comes back, the first thing is what? He will set up the judgment seat of Christ. And so how do we pass it based on today? What kind of Christian living we have? And so then, concerning the judgment seat of Christ, I will say that I said many times before that it is an open book test. It's not closed book, because the Lord wants all of us to pass this test. And so the Lord will never give us the strange, difficult questions like many professors will do. So they want us to fail, then they will show off. See, I know more than you do. But Christ will not be like this. He tried to do his best to help us to pass the judgment seat of Christ. And so we know it has two sides. This is based on Matthew chapter 25. And so on the one hand, we all need to have the oil in our spirit. In other words, we have to experience the spirit or live in the spirit all the time. And then when the Lord comes back, then we are filled, saturated by this with this spirit. Then that is then you can pass. But then that is only one side. The another side is concerning the service. We all need to serve. And so I, on one hand, hope that all of us will preach the gospel, get people saved. But just get them saved is not good enough, because everyone who just got saved, then sooner or later they have to face the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, don't think because this gospel friend, you preach the gospel, he received the Lord, and then he come to every Lord's Day morning meeting, then you say, oh, praise the Lord. This new one is the remaining fruit. But you have to see, just to receive the Lord is not enough. It's enough for the eternal salvation, but not enough to pass the judgment seat of Christ. And so we all need to learn this. After we get the person saved, we need to continue to help them to enjoy the Lord. That's why I call the 12:26. We need to eating Jesus is the way. And so not only eating Jesus is the way, then another important thing is to learn how to serve. We need to bring all the people that we have brought to the Lord, not only they themselves get saved, that's not good enough. We need to bring them into the church life and into the church services. That means we have to help them, to train them to how to serve. And then, this is very important, because in Matthew chapter 25, we know those who get five talents or two talents, no problem. What had a problem is the one talent. And one talent, don't despise that. That one talent is the, talent is the biggest unit of the weight. In other words, today we use ton as the biggest unit of the weight. And in the Bible, that the biggest unit of the weight is what? Well, it is talent. One talent is the biggest. In others, the Lord has given all of us, really real Christians, at least one talent. So we all have a portion. We all have a portion we can serve and that we can learn. And then, I sometimes said, I think this one talented person, probably he was a Chinese. Why? Because Chinese had this kind of philosophy, that is, the more you do, the more mistake you will make. The less you do, the less mistake you will do. If you don't do anything, you will not have any mistake. And that's why you could see, I don't think it is off, because you can see that when the Lord comes back, when the Master comes back, and this, in the beginning, this one talented one was not afraid. He was, you could sense that he was very happy that, you see, that this one talent is still here. I did not make any mistake. I did not lose anything. And now the one talent silver is still here. So he thought maybe his master would thank him. He did, out of his surprise, what did that master say? What did the master say? The slothful and evil servant. So then my important point was, when you go to verse 30, and before the master asked this one to be thrown into the outer darkness. Now, where is the outer darkness? We don't know where it is, but at least it's not the lake of fire. But so they will be in the outer darkness. But logically speaking, since the master said earlier that you're evil and slothful, so then in verse 30, the master should say the same thing, right? Throw this evil and slothful servant into the outer darkness. But the master didn't say this. What did he say? He said, throw this useless person to the outer darkness. So you see that our Lord loved us, love to the end. The Lord did not want to say, oh, you are evil and slothful, so forget it, I throw you out. No, he still want to, what he could not accomplish while this person was living, the Lord still had 1,000 years to change this one so to be to eventually to know how to serve. And so, in other words, when we say who is the overcomer, then many people say, oh, you are so proud. How dare you can say you are overcomers? No, actually, all of us will be overcomers. The problem is not who is overcomer, who is not overcomer. And the thing is, when you will be overcomer. But those who overcome today will be blessed. And but if the Lord cannot finish his work today, but at least he still have 1,000 years to train this one. So at the end of the millennial kingdom, all of us will become overcomers. And then all of us will become useful servant. And then, so my last word will say that sometimes in the past, especially, again, since I'm a Chinese, and so I am not afraid to let the Chinese to be upset. And so sometimes many Chinese are too humble. And they said, sometimes I ask some saints, oh, how long have you been saved? He said, oh, I haven't been saved many years, 30 years. And then I said, what service are you? Oh, no. He said, as long as I can be the doorkeeper, I'm happy. They did not realize, if you say, I just want to be a doorkeeper, that will hurt our Heavenly Father's heart. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be the co-king with Christ. And yet, we still think, oh, I just want to be a doorkeeper. We don't need this kind of humbleness. And so I just want to say these things, and may the Lord be merciful to us. Okay, the last thing I want to say is that you remember yesterday, Brother Ed said that encourage all of you young people every morning you need to have the personal fellowship with the Lord, right? And so then I really want to say 100 amen. We all need to have personal. Not only we have to have the corporate morning revival. You need to have that, at least because you have other saints with you. That at least will keep you have the morning revival. But then, in addition to this, we all need to have the personal fellowship with the Lord. And then we need to learn how to have the personal prayer reading and all these things. And so then, I really want to support what Brother Ed said yesterday, and I also want to repeat this. All of us, the older ones, younger ones, not only we all need to have corporate morning watch, but we also need to have personal morning watch. And this morning, if I did not have personal fellowship with the Lord, I don't have these that many words I want to tell you. And so I still will say, what should I do? So we need to keep have this intimate fellowship with the Lord. And then so I always said this, that I'm not worried that you do not love the Lord. I only worry that you do not spend time with the Lord. Now, if you don't love the Lord, as long as you spend time with the Lord, sooner or later, you will love him, because our Lord is lovable. And therefore, we had 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. What should be our practice? What should be our practice? We need to be like babes. Now, on this way, to be babes is not to try to be humble, but as babe what? Long for the guileless milk of the word. We need, all of us need to be, on this point, we need to be babes, just like babe love milk. And so they don't care for anything else. As long as they have milk, then they will satisfy. So we need to what? We need to have the milk of the word. And not only that, verse 3 said, if you have tasted, and then you know how sweet it is, how sweet the Lord is, how sweet his word is. And so if we know this, we practice this, then sooner or later, then we will, this will sink into us. And then we will all become the Lord's, all these, they in the Old Testament, they become what? They become? Hmm? No, here in this First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, say what? Holy priests, not only holy priests, we have to be holy priesthood. In other words, when we enjoy the Lord, and then not only we personally are priests because we serve God, right? But then we need to serve God with other people together. So it's priesthood. So we all need to be in this priesthood. So in other words, when we eat Christ, when we love Christ, it's not just for our own enjoyment, but it is for building up of the body of Christ. And so then this is the last thing I want to share. If we can really practice these things, then I really believe that the Lord will give us another, what? Maybe, hopefully, another revival. So I think I will just say up to this point. And I think we still have time. So if anyone wants to prophesy, maybe you can come. Yeah. Oh, hmm? Yeah. Yeah. And then you want to say something, and you want to say something, you can. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
So, So now's our time to exercise our priesthood. Amen. Before that, just a few short announcements. We want to remind the saints here locally that we need to register for the Anaheim training if you're planning to do that before May 1st, and there should be some sign-up sheets on the counter.